today, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
Hey, and guess what? That's me.
You
welcome. You know, we have our normal guest, retired attorney. You know, Larry, I don't know if you know this, but I call him my messy Jew.
Call him what again?
A messy Jew. You never heard that?
Oh.
Now, there is a proper terminology. What's the real terminology?
Messianic.
See, close. You know, that's pretty close, isn't it?
Fairly close, not necessarily correct, but fairly close.
Well, you know, a messianic Jew means that he is a Jew that had converted to Christianity, and he now is openly acknowledges that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. So I just think messy Jew sounds, you know, just more fun than messianic. Is there a little literal interpretation of messianic? I mean, does that come from a certain language?
Well, what was Jesus? Jesus was the Messiah. So that's where it comes from.
Oh, messianic.
It's Hebraic.
Messianic.
Messianic. Yes,
they just emphasize it a little different.
Is he doing this correctly, Pastor Dave?
I believe so. Yeah, I would never question Alan.
You never question? Well, no. You can't, you know, attorneys, they know everything, right?
No.
They think they do.
They think they do. So back in '04, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, said, let's start doing radio shows because we have lots and lots of years of combined experience in different areas, with Dan being an independent insurance agent, everything to do with autos, cars, businesses, homes, life insurance, health insurance, pretty much all of that stuff is in his bailiwick, and Dan's only been doing this for 38
That sounds about right.
Long time. And in my not too humble opinion, he is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. And why do I say that? Under his umbrella is roughly 100 different companies, not all for any one line. But when you have a very large book of business, companies constantly are soliciting you as an agent to become a part of their group. And Dan's job, more than anything, is to pick out the right companies for the right client. And if you're a captive agent, you work for one insurance company, and if your company handles that client that comes in the door, everything works. But if you're an independent, you work for the client, not the insurance company.
So, well, Joe, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with the captive agency system.
I didn't
system.
Say there was, but I was one of those. We're farmers.
As was I. And yeah. The captive system is a little bit tweaked here in Florida because many of those great captive companies don't offer products for all the clients. Some of them are not doing homes or condos or properties or
right.
a lot of things they used to do. So it sort of forced us into a position to have many more companies. You know, if I had one company that could do everything.
Make life simple.
It'd make life simple.
But then what happens is you have competition. The thing that Dan has done for me, in fact, almost everybody that knows him, I shop my car insurance every 6 months. I don't care whoever gives me the best deal for the same coverage, that's who I'm going to go with. Now, Dan has never lost me yet. He's tried to fire me a couple times.
You tried to fire yourself.
Well, his girls in the office said, Joe, please, please, please don't have any more accidents and tickets, please. They're trying to get me a decent rate. But
we found the right place for someone with, you know, let's say, driving challenged.
Driving challenged. Anyway, and then Greg Fasula, attorney, one of the first things I do, Larry, when I meet a new client, suspect, or prospect, I talk about a will or a trust because I feel the cart and the horse should be put in the proper order. And if they don't know the difference, I try to give them 5 minutes and explain the difference to them. But I don't do such a thing. Only attorneys do such a thing, unless you go to the thrift store and buy a package of something and try to do it yourself.
Well, you know, Joe, here's the other thing to keep in mind, and we've talked about this. Even if you haven't taken the time and done the reasonably prudent thing of doing that, the state of Florida has a blank will all ready to go.
There you go.
Your name's just not on it, and the lawyer who's going to do the probate, he hasn't been put in there. But if you die without a will or intestate, the great state of Florida will have one ready to go and charge your estate a nice, healthy fee to do it.
Here's a question, Larry. Now, maybe you know this, because Larry's a guest here today of our Messy Jew. And he's the best friend. You guys are both from Wisconsin, correct?
Correct.
And went to college together.
Yep. We were both in the same fraternity.
This is scary, isn't it? Anyway, do you realize in the state of Florida how much an attorney can charge in the probate process?
I don't know, but I know attorneys charge a lot for
Well, there are guidelines. There's guidelines. Now, that doesn't mean you have to charge this. You can charge more or less, but state guidelines say that an attorney can charge roughly 3% of the value of the estate in the probate process.
Or more.
Well, he can charge more, but 3% is the guideline. Now, if you have a $1 million probatable estate, did you do the math real quick?
That's a lot of money.
That's $30,000. So normally what I do, if we got Greg, our attorney, sitting here, now we don't broadcast this so you can see us live. You can find us on WCNO.com. But you can't see us. But when I say to Greg, $1 million probatable estate, you should see his hands start to rub together, and he smiles.
Is that anticipation, Joe?
I mean, I just made 30 grand on one client. This is not a bad day. So on the other hand, if you had a trust that you might have spent $1,200, $1,500 for, and I can't give you the exact figure, there is no probate. It's not subject to probate. Not subject to probate simply means you don't have to go through the court system. It isn't going to take 6 months to a year. It's a whole different ballgame.
Well, how about this, Joe? How many of our listeners have moved here from another state? Quite a few, I'm sure, had perhaps done all the appropriate things in the state they used to live in, right. And now they're a resident of the great state of Florida. Their will or trust may need to be tweaked to be in compliance with Florida statute. That has to be done.
I had a buddy of mine that died, and he did his own will with
Staples,
Home
did
Depot
he go to Staples?
Or Staples or wherever he got it from. Well, it violated Florida rules because the witness documentation has to be done a certain way. In order to make it a legal will, we had to find the witnesses. And then the witnesses had to attest to the fact that they actually did this. There's certain ways to sign things.
And that's if your friends are still alive. What if your friends are as old as you are and died before you.
Well,
good
they
luck
might have
finding
died
them.
Before you, right. So, Alan, you know better than anybody what the, from state to state. And, of course, Larry, are you an attorney also?
No.
You got lucky.
I was a social worker for 28 and a half years.
Okay.
I did sports reporting. So I had the whole spectrum of life, indigence during the day, multimillionaires at night.
He got covered. Well, we got a caller right away, so we're going to take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Well, good afternoon, Joe Martek team. I have a question in regards to wills.
Go right ahead.
And that question would be, now, if you're the executor of that will, you're entitled to executor's fees.
Correct?
Yes,
correct.
Sir.
Yeah.
Okay, what fees and how do you collect them? From where and from what?
Well, is there anything left in the estate?
First of all, you're in charge. So let's assume that the estate was worth $100,000. Let's just take that number. 1% is not considered an abnormal fee, and you could charge more. But there's also expenses. If you have to chase people down or do things or drive or whatever you have to do as the executor is an expense to the will. It's not your expense.
So, but you're not supposed to gouge it.
No. And the point is this. You know the beneficiaries are going to be watching you because that's what they do. So the concept is this. If you can, as an executor, this is my opinion now, because Dan and I go through this regularly with clients dying, and we get involved with them because they're now into a contest with family or relatives, is if you are the named executor in that will and you know who the beneficiaries are, I'd contact them as sooner the better and say, hey, here's what's going to happen, here's how I'm going to disperse it, and here's what I'm going to charge. You guys have any problem with that? And basically, if you tell them up front, if they have a problem with it, tough. But makes no difference. At least you're divulging and being upfront.
Now, Joe, don't you think that in many cases, and I'm speaking from personal experience, it's a family member who's the executor for the balance of the
balance
family
of the
members.
Family, right.
All right. So the goal is to be fair and equitable to everyone concerned.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, in most cases, there's going to be maybe one or two people who, no matter what you do, are going to find some fault with that. So, you know, in my opinion, you prayerfully do the right thing every chance. And if there's any room for people thinking you might have done it for gain, don't do it. Just don't do it.
It's a difficult situation. Another thing that in a trust, you have a successor trustee, which is similar to the executor in a will, except that a trust is a living object as long as it has money in it. It has all the rights and authorities of a person. So the same things are there. And very often it delineates in massive detail what the successor trustee can do, and oftentimes it gives them great authority to do it. Just as a quickie, I'll tell you, do you have a story there that you're going through, or no?
Yes, just a quick question on that in regards to, just say, the person that passed away was a mom, and she had insurance. Okay, well, I had to do all the running around and faxing and chasing down death certificates and whatnot, and I send that off to the insurance company. Well, the insurance company then splits the whatever money's worth,
right,
and send half to me and then half to, there just happens to be one other sibling,
right,
and they get half. Now, see, so I'm out of a executor fee. How do I collect that?
You don't.
There are no other assets within her estate?
There is one more asset. There's a money market account.
I would say that may be an area where perhaps you could extract a reasonable compensation for the money and time that you've expended.
What happens is when you have that other sibling, no matter what you extract for a fee, whether it's reasonable or very little, they're probably going to not be happy about it, period. You know, that's
will they still come over for Christmas dinner or not? And then is it worth it or not?
Is it worth it or not?
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Well, when you call the guy in charge that is running the money market, he says, you know, to set up accounts online and then give those account numbers to him, and he will split the proceeds into those accounts. Well, how do you collect the executor's fee for initiating and starting all that?
Well, first of all, I would deduct the fee up front and the expenses, and then the rest of the money would go into that account. I mean, if you're the executor, you have authority according to what it says in that document.
Could he not start up a new account for the estate and have that money market transferred into that new account,
right,
and then take that fee out of the new account and have the balance sent to this guy for distribution.
Here's another question. This was a money market account. Was it held by a credit union, a bank, a church? What was it held by?
A bank.
Okay. In that bank, was there a TOD agreement, transfer on death agreement?
Right. That I don't know 100% sure.
And is there a penalty for early, you know, with cancellation of that certificate? Because that may hit you also.
What you want to do is, first thing I would do is say, hey, mom died. I'm the executor on the will. Here's the will. You walk into the bank with the death certificate, the will, and said, hey, I'm the executor. This account, I need to be opened, and I need to be a signer on it. Now, there might be, your mom might have done this, and the bank might have done it for her, and forgive me for saying this, but most times I have found recently banks do this. They have a document that your mom signed. It says transfer on death. It might say half goes to you and half goes to your sibling, and you can forget getting a fee.
That's right.
I mean, it is. That's done. It doesn't go through the courts, doesn't go through probate or anything.
Right.
If that's not there, and you're the named executor, the bank might let you open an account based on the death certificate and the will as the executor. And I don't know exactly what gets done, but literally, you may not get a fee for anything and do all the work, but as Dan said,
that's the case.
Yeah, when you go to heaven, remember this, you won't be in the back of the bus, you'll be in the middle of the bus because you complain too much. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I'm picking on you, of course, but all I'm trying to say is the family dynamics are never fair, and I've never seen them fair yet.
But it has to be done, brother. So if you're the one who your mom selected, she selected you for a reason because she knew you'd do the right thing. Do the right thing. If there's a way to get reimbursed for it, hallelujah. If not, do your business to the best of your ability.
That's all you can do. Sorry to give you the bad
news. I don't
think
we helped you much because I think you knew all this already.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time and help. That's a great program. We love it and listen to you every week.
Thanks very much. Thank you for listening.
Joe, you can't solve family disputes, here's a simple way of lessening the impact. If somebody is named the executor, what they should do from day one of the death of the person is to keep a diary of what they've done,
everything,
when they've done it, any cost that they expended doing that, and then you're able to go to your family members and say, look, there's $100,000 in this money market account. There are two siblings, 50-50, but I expended in time and money $3,000.
Right.
So for my efforts, I'd like to take $4,000 or $5,000 off the top, say $5,000. That leaves $95,000 left. And then you split the $95,000.
If they agree.
But I mean, probably any reasonable person, hopefully, would agree.
But that's the big question. Reasonable.
Wait a minute. Do they have reasonable people in Wisconsin?
Well, that is the key word in law school that is used all the time, but nobody can define exactly what a reasonable person is.
How about this? All right. Let's suppose I'm going to set up my estate, and I'm going to make one of my children the executor because I like them the least. All right, so I make them the executor because I know what they're going to go through. And then I also say to them, hey, I want you to get paid $35 an hour for your efforts, and I want everything that you've expended to be reimbursed to you at 102%.
You can say that.
Could I not say that, and I can eliminate all that other problem?
If you delineate in your will or in another document tied to the will, you can say anything you want, and that may solve the problem. In other words, mom or dad wants to make sure that the son or daughter gets paid a reasonable fee or even an unreasonable fee.
I just want them all to come for Christmas and not be mad at each other, so I'm going to take care of it up front, and that I could do that.
But Dan, you're cheap. Only $35 an hour?
Hey, they're lucky I'm giving them that.
They can't. Listen, I love this when I'm playing with clients and they've got $500,000. And I said, now, when your parents died, how much did you get? 99% go nothing.
Nothing.
Zippo, not a penny. And you're going to leave $500,000 to your kids, right? Uh-huh. Listen, when are you going to die? They'd be happy soon because that Maserati's calling them.
Joe, do you realize our first caller called this station without us giving the phone number one time? That shows the dedication of our listeners.
That's somebody that's
that is Alan's way of telling you to let everybody know what the phone number
I'll
is.
I'll tell them because I got to rehearse for prayer and praise time coming up in a couple of months. 888, that's our toll-free number, 888-221-8990. Please give us a call.
He thinks he knows it by heart, but he had to look up there just to be sure.
I looked up there to make sure he was right.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, I was looking at him watching him stumble a little, you know. So 1-888-221-8990. This is toll-free from any place. Write that number down, folks. Keep it by your phone. And that first caller might have done that because he's a regular listener, and I appreciate that. One of the things that happens, I mentioned the first three members of the group, but we also have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's only been a realtor in this area since 1978, which is a couple weeks. And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who has done more good things, I think, and help people get homes, help people with Dan's help to qualify for mortgages. And he's gone out of his way to do things, and he normally will tell you within 15 minutes on the phone, because he'll run a credit report with your permission and find out exactly where you stand and what you have to do or may not have to do in order to qualify for a mortgage.
Well, Joe, here's what I liked about Mike. I like things that are made simple and easy for me. Mm-hmm. So if I walk into a bank and they give me a stack of papers a half an inch thick and say, fill these out and come back and we'll let you know in a couple weeks what we can maybe do for you. Versus giving him some basic information, he can come back and tell you what your credit will allow you to borrow,
right,
what you're going to qualify for. Who would not want to know how much you're going to qualify for before you get started? Yeah. Why would I look at a $400,000 house when I couldn't get a loan for it?
There you go.
So it's much easier way to do business.
And then Vince Rosino, CPA, not only a CPA, a forensic CPA, which makes him an expert witness in the court system. Vince is starting to burn the midnight oil.
This is his time.
This is his time. So, you know, and he's an old guy, so
his time is limited.
What happens, he's not only a forensic CPA, he's also an ex-college professor. I mean, Vince is pretty well-rounded as a professional in the money business, and the tax code right now is obviously been changed pretty dramatically, so very often we get some calls for Vince, but he's not here today, so don't call.
Well, he does a wonderful job, and you know, Joe, one of the things that I primarily use him for is if I have a client or someone who's thinking about buying a business.
Right.
What I like about the fact that he's a forensic accountant, he can tell you if you're buying a bankruptcy
right,
waiting to happen that's been disguised in a bunch of, you know, phony baloney paperwork, or are you buying a viable, profitable business? That's what you need to know if you're going to spend the money.
One of the things about Vince is he's objective and an expert. So you hire him to look at this thing, he's not going to look it through rose-colored glasses. He's going to look at it with reality.
He's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. So I use him as a tool. I say, hey, call this guy before you get too involved in this purchase because you may need to run from this.
1-888-221-8990. So when we don't even add Alan in our combined group, because Alan's not really in the group. He's a special guest star. You know that, Larry. Did he tell you that?
Yes.
That's what I figure. He tells everybody that. You know?
He's asking for more money, too.
We're going to double his salary.
Yeah, listen, I think I'm willing to quadruple it.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of that.
The key thing, we have in this group roughly 200 years of combined experience because we got a bunch of old people. Now, if we add Alan into it, we got almost 300 years of combined experience because don't we use mileage?
You'll have to ask Vince that.
1-888-221-8990. And I think you have an announcement today that you want to make people aware of in case they're not aware.
Well, it's not really an announcement. It's sadness. America lost treasure today. Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham, died at the age of 99. And in the 60s in Milwaukee, I can't remember the exact year, I had the pleasure of meeting him because I was at one of his appearances in Milwaukee, and my impression, and at that time, I was a full Orthodox, practicing Orthodox Jew. I didn't accept Jesus until 2009. But the thing that struck me about Billy Graham was he wasn't interested in celebrity, stardom, money per se. Obviously, his ministry needed money to survive and thrive. But what he was mostly interested in was bringing people to the Lord. And he got around him, in essence, the same type of concept that you used, Joe, with the group, looking for the best people to surround him to do his mission, which was simply bringing people to Jesus Christ. And at that time, I was a Jew, and now as a Messianic Christian, I have to say he did a marvelous job in doing just that. And he didn't look for the fanfare or a Jewish word, covet. He didn't look for praise. He wanted all the praise to go to the Lord. And I met him for maybe less than a minute, but I never, that meeting never left me. And one of the people that I will always remember, he's not with us now either, it was his great singer that he had, George Beverly Shea. There is no better version in my mind, people can disagree, than George Beverly Shea's version of How Great Thou Art. It was magnificent.
Pastor Dave's here nodding his head and agreeing with you. 1-888-221-8990. So I said, you know, that he's the only one in this group I think that's ever met Billy Graham, and it was a moving experience and a memorable experience, and that's a good thing.
So he planted the seed in a way that we all plant every day with the people that we meet. You know,
absolutely.
We're not going to all be the one to bring them to faith. And obviously he was not the one that brought you, but he helped plant the seed that brought you here, brother.
Well, to be honest with you, the seed was planted before that. It was planted at the University of Illinois, and I think a lot of the listeners who listen to WCNO, especially during Prayer and Praise, know that I was born with cerebral palsy. Well, at the University of Illinois, there were many fine North Chicago suburban Jewish girls, and I had a limp, and so for whatever reason, I wasn't the most attractive person on their date list.
What do you mean wasn't?
So, I wasn't. So, I wound up meeting and dating for most of my college career down there a very nice Catholic young lady. And what she would do would come to Hillel services on Friday night with me. I would go to Mass with her on Sunday mornings. And that's where the seed was planted, because I fell in love with the music of Bach and Handel and the oratorios and the masses, and that stayed with me. And there was a wonderful show for many years on a Chicago religious station that was called The Sound of Majesty, and it was just classical, wonderful classical music and commentary about the Lord Jesus Christ. And over time, that planted the seed. And what really did it was a pastor down here finally putting all things together for me to where I was prepared and accepted Jesus Christ.
1-888-221-8990. So the concept of the group is pretty simple. We're here to help with a variety of subjects. We've got a local professionals that all live here, hope to die here, and not necessarily soon. So it'd be kind of embarrassing if I dropped dead right now. You know, Tom, we'd know why Tom wanted to get rid of me, but Dave, you know.
Well, as a team chaplain, I'm sure I'd have to say a few words.
Quickly. Move on.
Right.
Let's just, hey, kick Joe out of the way. We have a radio show to finish here, really.
That's right.
we talk about different subjects, and we talk wills and trusts, we talk some about some insurance. To me, I handle money, people, money, and investments, and on a regular basis, and from this station also, I get people that have questions constantly about 401ks and rollovers. Had one lady today that's all the way from Tennessee that's got some stock in a major company and loved the company and everything, but just starting to get scared because she's not too young anymore. And what if that major company all of a sudden takes a hit and the value of her stock can go down tremendously? And it isn't that I give advice on these things, but I start to think about the old concept, apples and baskets. You know, if you keep all your apples in one basket, you know, you could have a problem. But if you spread it out a little bit, get diversified, it helps a bunch. So when I try to look at people, especially as they're not so young, is to get more diversified and get into some instruments that are protective.
Versus, let's say, putting all your money in the bank at 0.5%, 1/10, 1/3%.
Well, that's pretty big money. The key thing that I look at, like the market last year has been extremely strong. How much was the S&P 500 up last year, Alan?
Approximately 25%.
Yeah. So clients of mine that were in the S&P 500 and in the NASDAQ 100 were up 25% to 30% for the last year. Well, but we've all seen corrections in the market where all of a sudden, more than a correction, we could have Black Monday or Black Friday. All kinds of different words have been used when the market collapses, because never has anybody figured out how to run right down the middle. It's either we're doing well or we're doing poorly.
And not everybody made 25%. No. Some of them may have made less. Some of them may have made a little bit more. So when they throw that number out, oh, the market went up by 25%. Yep. That doesn't mean your portfolio went up by 25%. Nope. You need to be watching what's going on within your own portfolio.
So very often when I start to counsel people, like we've had, and Alan, we've talked about this on the show regularly, that people have, especially in 401ks, they oftentimes have funds that have bond funds in them. And I was listening to CNBC this week, and they were making a big deal about the difference between bonds and bond funds. Now, bonds, we talk about regularly, that's one instrument. It might have a 10, 20, or 30-year maturity date, but it pays a fixed rate of interest for that entire period of time. And at the end of that period of time, you can cash it in for the value that you started with. Now, if you try to sell it during the course of that 10 or 15 or 20 years, it might sell for more than the value, or it might sell for less depending on the then current interest rates. Well, with interest rates going up, the value of most bonds or bond funds are going down, and bond funds happen to have more of a volatility, in my opinion, than a plain bond. Like years ago, Dan, it's been a long time, I had some 7% tax-free municipals.
Now, when you bought them, Joe, what was the interest rate?
Very high.
And so people who were looking at that said, if I put my money there, it's at 7 versus I can maybe make more.
8 or 9.
But now you look like a genius because you're only getting, you know, a tiny bit of money.
Getting 2 or 3. So what happens, and I've told people that, make a note on your file box when you die, tell your kids don't sell those 7% tax freeze or like gold.
Absolutely.
If they're not callable, which is another word, it's a double hit. So there's different things to look at. When you have your 401k, if you have questions about what you have invested inside or what your options are, I regularly get people that fax me or email me what they've got, then I can look at it intelligently and give them my opinion. I don't charge for that. My whole goal is to make sure these people end up where they want to go.
Plus, I want them to know what they actually have.
Yeah.
How many times have you and I sat down with customers and clients and we're reviewing what they have and they are shocked at what they have?
They don't have a clue very often. Very often. In fact, I had a lady this last week came in. You'll get a kick out of that story. I'll tell you in a minute. In the meantime, we have a caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, thank you. I was listening to your conversation about probate and wills. Could you tell me if a person has to have a minimum amount of assets to establish a trust in Florida?
Not really. Minimum might be $1, but you know, you might pay $1,200 or $1,500 to an attorney to establish
to do the trust.
To do that. The key thing, it's not important how much you've got. The reason for a trust is to avoid probate on your death. That's the only reason you've got it.
Now, Joe, when we talk about probate, you and I have a pretty good grasp of what that is. What if I don't even know what the word probate means? Could you give some examples of probatable assets to these people?
Well, let's just take a quick example. Let's say you've got $100,000 worth of probatable assets. That's not your primary residence, number one. But let's say you have rental property, income
That's
property.
That's probatable.
That's usually probatable. So now, that means the court process, if it goes right, is roughly 6 months. That's if there's no stumbles. Meaning, a stumble might be that a relative comes out of the woodwork and says, hey, I want a piece of that, and I'm going to challenge it, and now it might take another year or 6 months or who knows how long to get it done. So a trust avoids probate, doesn't have to go through the court system.
But let's say I'm like an average person, Joe, with a house,
right,
homesteaded house,
right,
little bit of money in the bank, with a transfer on death,
right,
and maybe a small life insurance policy with a beneficiary.
Right.
Doesn't sound like I would have a probatable
you
problem.
You don't have a probatable estate. None of that stuff is subject to probate. Is that making any sense to you?
It does. What if one of the people of a couple has a will? Is a will always automatically probated?
Well, here we go again. It depends on if it's a probatable asset. So let's say we have a will. Let's you and I are married now, and we have a house that's a homestead. That homestead we own together as joint tenants or as a husband and wife. I die at your house, you die at my house. Okay, there's no court, there's no probate, there's no nothing. We both die, and we have a will, and it's our homestead. The homesteads in the state of Florida are not subject to probate. They have to go through a minor court thing to transfer it to whoever's written down in the will, which would normally be the children. If you have a bank account, you go to the bank and you say, I want a transfer on death agreement, TOD, checking account, savings account, CDs. That is not now subject to probate. You list who gets the money. All they have to do is show up with a death certificate, say, mom's gone, give me the money. You have an annuity contract with an insurance company. That's not subject to probate. There's beneficiaries named. You have a life insurance contract with named beneficiaries. That's not subject to probate. The normal assets that are subject to probate are those that are not handled properly one time, or it's income producing properties. I've not found a way to take rental properties, income properties, or business properties and make them not subject to probate with the exception of a trust. That eliminates that probate problem.
But you know, if you have a specific question, chances are we could have Greg Fasula,
right,
give you a call.
If you could
ask him a very specific question. He won't charge you a dime, and maybe he can help you answer that question if that's something you're being interested in.
Would that help you a bit? You can just ask general stuff to us. Hey, we're full of opinions. You
yes,
notice that?
I've been told that before.
Are we helping you answer your questions, though?
Yes, you're being very helpful. Thank you. What about personal possessions like jewelry, other things like that? Are those probatable things?
Boy, now you're talking to not an attorney. We have an attorney here that's retired. But very often you can list these items and who gets them in a will.
Yes, you can.
And they normally are not now subject to probate.
Because what you don't want is you don't want to have somebody walk in and say, mom wanted me to have this.
Yeah.
Or maybe mom didn't want you to have
that. If you can get mom to list them and say, hey, I've got 3 pieces of jewelry, 2 of this, 5 of that, you get these 2, they get that, and just list them, that's doing the right thing.
And also, unless it's your intent, you don't want to have a sentence in there saying that personal property will be dispersed at the discretion of the executor.
That's not a good thing.
He might decide not to disperse it.
At discretion of one person is not good. So normally, the more detailed it can be, the better off it's being for the family, because we're trying to keep the family unit together.
Absolutely.
When somebody dies. And oftentimes, if it's not done properly, that doesn't work. Are we handling that okay for you?
I think so. So if a person passes away and they have a will, and let's say it's in a lockbox, but you don't meet any of these qualifications, it doesn't have to go to probate.
Okay, that's it. That's simple.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for
calling.
Your help.
Thank you for calling. 1-888-221-8990. The key thing with probate is if it's a probatable asset, meaning they didn't do the transfer on death, they didn't do beneficiaries, it's not a homestead property, there's ways to eliminate. I mean, Greg is one of the few attorneys that I know that will help people not do a trust if they don't need one. Another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Hi, my name is Toby. I guess I'm on the air now.
Yes, you are, Toby.
Hi, how are you? I'm okay. I just want to say that all my money was put in my family. Put my money. I was like the Joseph of my family, because the whole family ganged up against me, and they put me away in a sentence home for 4.5 months, and then I got out of all that. But after as a result of all that, was that my family put me under trusteeship, and my mother was like 91 years old when she passed away. And my brother and sister-in-law convinced her that's what I should do, is we put her in trusteeship. And she went along with it. So now she passed away about 7 years already, but I was left in a state. My mother had a state because my father was a millionaire. He had his own stockbroker firm, so he left me with over $1 million, but that was like 7 years ago. Now there's less money in that. They put all my money in a special needs trust, all that money, you know. And I went to look at his statement. I asked my lawyer for the bank statement. He only gives the bank statement once a year, and now he finally sent me a January 2018 statement. And I could see by reading it that it lost $37,000 just in 1 month. I mean, all the money's in bonds, but every month it keeps losing money, you know. And then he just sent me a letter saying he wants to raise my fees to 2%. Because he charged it 3.5%, and like when I first got the money, and now he lowered it to 1.5%. But I told him I was going to find a different lawyer, ask him to resign. He wouldn't resign if he lowered his fees. But now he said he wants 2% again. We had lowered it to 1.5%, and now he wants 2% of, you know, the thing. But I want to know if you could help me find an attorney that could help me dissolve the whole trusteeship altogether, because I'm working now part-time. I work volunteer and work in the VA hospital, you know, here in the Palm Beach Gardens, and I want to, you know, I'm really on a very high tier level is what I have. I was told my master's degree for mental counseling. I'm not insane or anything like that. I retired, but they have to put me on their trusteeship, but they don't want all the money, my part of the money, for himself, you know.
Here's what we'll do.
About $2 million each.
You left your name and number with Pastor Tom, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to give it to Greg Fasula, our attorney in our group, and we have him call you, and you and he can discuss this. And Greg, you'll find is a good guy. He's an upstanding guy, and he won't do anything that's not in your best interest. Is that okay?
Yes. I just want to know if it's possible to dissolve the trusteeship, and how much would it cost me? The only account to do that. And I know, I talked to one attorney about it.
You know, without seeing it, brother, it would be very improper for us to say it's dissolvable or no, it isn't.
We
honestly don't know. Just talking on the phone, we really would want to have an attorney to talk to you and then actually review it and look at it to give you his opinion. It's awfully hard for us to give you an answer on the phone. And I know you understand that.
Okay. Well, how much would I have to pay him just to see him to get his opinion then?
You're going to talk to him. He'll call you on the phone tomorrow or the next day, and you guys will discuss it. And normally, Greg does not charge anything to get together the first time and find out what needs to be done. And then he would tell you what it would cost if it's something you want to do.
And good luck to you,
Greg. He said that attorney was a Messianic Jew, right?
That was one year. Well, our Messianic Jew is sitting right here, but he is not a practicing attorney. He's a guest member of the thing. But Greg Fasula, which has been a part of our group now for a long, long, long time, probably 20 years. He's a fine man, a good man, solid man, good Christian. You're going to like him.
You know, my attorney is a non-Christian. He's Catholic, not a Christian. I'm born again. That's also part of the problem.
Well,
so he just thinks that I'm off the wall. You know, he doesn't understand.
Well, you know, there's no special place in heaven just for Catholics. We all go equally, brother.
Anyway, let's.
I know, I'm just saying, but I'm a born again Jewish believer. He doesn't understand me at all. He probably thinks that I'm a sugar. You know,
hang in there, and we'll give your name and number to Greg, and he'll give you a call. Is that okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. 1-888-221-8990, and there comes the circumstances we were talking about where families start to fall apart and there's money involved.
It's heartbreaking, Joe, and I've seen it over the years. And many things can be so easily accomplished without doing that.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes you do things as a parent that you think are in the best interest, and they backfire on you sometimes, and sometimes they work magnificently. It's just hard to say.
Well, you know, and I this is a constant thing. He was talking about, if you heard a couple of the words, special needs trust. Man, what a can of worms.
That's a complicated issue. We know that.
That's a big one. Another call here. Caller, Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
All right. Hello.
Hi.
My name is Evangeline, and my question is about probate. My mother died with a will, and her lawyer that we had, she ended up putting her house in probate. And I understand that it didn't go through completely because she had a will, and we never did want her house to go to probate, but now that I can't get it, I'm trying to figure out what's the next step I need to take to get it out of probate.
Well, here comes number one key, and I'm going to play not attorney today, but if the house was a homestead, your mom's homestead, and she went to the county and recorded it as a homestead in the state of Florida, that's not subject to probate. But I can't tell your mom did that.
Her homestead is that when she pays the taxes on it?
Well, you go down to the courthouse and you say, this is where I live. It's a homestead. And then the state of Florida says, well, because it's your homestead, we're going to give you special rules when it comes to how much you can, taxes can go up. There's rules. But the most important one is, it's not subject to probate, and it's not subject to attachment by creditors. Meaning, if your mom got sued for $5 million, they can take everything away, but not her house if it's her homestead. So right now, the way to find out if it was homesteaded is to go to the county courthouse and say, here's the address, here's the house, here's the owner. Is it homesteaded? Was it homesteaded?
At the time of her death.
At the time of her death, had it been done prior to that. If that is true, that's not subject to probate.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's a great help.
Any way we can help you, we will.
So, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's something we take for granted, the homestead. But, you know, a lot of people don't know. And I've seen people, they live in a house for 5 years and it's their homestead, but they never did it.
Well, you know, one of the things that really can get some of our people who are listening, let's suppose you're a part-time resident.
Yeah.
You live full-time somewhere else.
Right.
And you come down here and don't homestead this house.
Right.
All right. Now, you and I buy the same house next door to each other.
Right.
I pay $100,000 and I homestead. You pay $100,000 and you don't.
Right.
My property can only go up at the max 3% a year.
The property taxes.
They can come back and jack yours up as high as they want over a period of time.
Yep.
And I have seen two houses exactly the same, one paying very little and one paying $10,000 to $12,000 a year in taxes.
Now, don't you also get homestead? You have certain deductions, $25,000 to $50,000.
First $25,000, yeah. You don't pay any taxes,
yeah,
on.
So there's all benefits to have a homestead. Now, you can only have one. So if you live up north and down here, pick one. You can't have both of them homesteaded. So, but you know, some people, if they're rich, they might have six houses. Pick one is their homestead.
But eventually, Joe, they all end up here.
Dan, is there any difference in insurance between a homesteaded house and a non-homesteaded house?
There really isn't any difference in homesteaded and non-homesteaded, Alan. The difference could be in, is it occupied or is it vacant? And if it's occupied, how many months out of the year is it occupied? If it's vacant, is it a gated community? Do you have somebody who looks at the house periodically? What we don't want is you to be gone for 6 months and your toilet has been running and overflowing since the day you left, and now when you open the door, you know, all this water comes out and everything is rotten. That's what we don't want. So we can get you a good price on it either way, but if it's homesteaded or not has nothing to do with the price. It's, is it occupied or vacant?
What about a rental property now? That's
same thing with that.
Same thing.
You know, and we're hoping that as if you're a landlord and you own it, that it doesn't sit vacant for months and months and months and months.
Right.
Because that creates a hazard.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990. Our guest here is falling asleep on us because he's not telling the phone number. That was his job, I thought. Didn't you inform him, Alan?
He has to spin around and look at it. It's hard to do.
Now, doesn't he have it over here too on the wall? No, we got it every place. You can go. Anyway, toll free from any place. And by the way, I listen to this all the way over in the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. I had a lady come in this last week, and she had three separate annuity contracts, and her agent was up north, and she didn't talk to him anymore and didn't see him. And we did what's called a change of agent. But in the meantime, what I did, I called the company up directly and found out what she had. Now, you know, Dan, you and I know the words to ask because there's industry words. So when we were all done, and this was like less than a half an hour, she said, "I finally know what I've got. I never knew what I had before."
Yeah.
And I said, "Look, if anybody tries to talk you out of these things, tell them to jump in the lake because you have really good products. You got very, very lucky when you got these things because whoever did them when you did it did the right thing
for you.
And the benefits here are wonderful. So listen, I'm thrilled to be your agent, thrilled to help you, and thrilled to teach you what you've got. And I'm happy for you also that you got good products."
And we do that from time to time, Joe. We'll have someone who comes in who has an excellent product,
right?
But the agent never comes back. They don't know who they are, and yeah, we just transfer
them. Yeah. Well, two of hers had no agent. They became house accounts.
Wow. Which is that's even worse.
And we have another caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. I'm trying to find out if it's okay to rent rooms in a dwelling that I would lease from another owner, just for the purpose of
You better check your lease agreement to see if it allows that.
Well, I know the owner that will allow me to sublease, but I'm trying to find out if it's okay for any city for me to do so, like to veterans or victim of domestic violence.
Well, I can only tell you this. I have a very nice client. She's a magnificent lady. She owns a house, and she basically has homeless veterans who stay in this house. They pay her what they can when they can. She does it as a mission. All right, so that doesn't answer your question. If the city or the county or municipality allows it, my suggestion would be to call them and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about renting a house, and my landlord would allow me to sublet some of the rooms. Is that going to be okay?"
And just that simple. They don't need to ask if that's in the city of Royal Palm Beach. You call up the city hall and get that people to answer the question, and if they have no ordinance against that, you're not violating any law.
Now, what I do know, what I have heard in the past, is there have been some ordinances that say you can only have so many people or so many families, right, non-family members, living within a single family residence.
Exactly.
I have heard that. Now, so those are the things I'd want to know if I was in your position.
Look, if you have a four-bedroom house, they may allow four people max, or they may allow eight people max, and it's different cities or counties have different rules. So the phone call is the easy way to find out.
Usually that's codified either by ordinance or statute.
Yeah. Right. See the word codify? Okay. We have an attorney sitting here. He uses fancy
words. What does that fancy word mean?
What's codify? Isn't that what a couch is?
Yes, I called this.
Isn't that what a couch is?
Today. I'm sorry? I called the city today, and they were telling me that it would be considered a home-based business.
That's fine. And
why is it a home-based business?
I would need to be licensed.
Well, they might charge you $75 one time because they want to get $75 out of you. I mean, that's
correct. That was the cost.
I know. Don't you love these things? And all it is they don't care less. Just bring me $75. Sign this piece of paper. Goodbye.
Now I'm gonna throw one more thing at you that you need to look at if you decide to get insurance on this place that you're gonna rent from this landlord.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to your agent, because what you would not want to happen is one of your tenant falls asleep with a cigarette, burns the whole place down, and the insurance company said, "Oh, we didn't know you were doing that. That's that's kind of like misrepresentation, and we're not gonna fix it."
Bottom line is, you need to divulge everything openly to everybody, and then once you're done, then you know what you can do, and you're not going to get in trouble.
Thank you so much.
Glad you called. God bless you.
Joe, I just want to make a quick comment about the role of attorneys. Attorneys can talk to people and talk about legal issues, but sometimes a person might think that a free consultation with an attorney will solve a family problem.
Not necessarily.
And that's beyond the scope. I just wanted to make that
distinction. Hey, not a question. When a cow chews its cud, is that a cudifier? Or?
If you say so, Joe, I will not debate you now. You only have about 2 minutes to go, and
I just need
widely
a, I need a definition of codify for our audience.
Something there, to do with fish, doesn't it?
That's right.
Fish, yeah.
Fried fish.
That's fried fish? Cod fry?
This is getting very fishy here, folks.
1-888-221-8998. See, you can take that boy out of Wisconsin, you can take that boy out of law school, but you can't take the law out of the boy. 1-888-221-8990. We're kind of winding down. We probably don't have time for any more calls, but anytime you want to get information from any one of us, you call the radio station, talk to Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom. They'll take your name and number, and we'll get to you. Remember, we have Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Vince Rosino, CPA, Gregory Fasula, attorney, and last and probably least.
No, not least, Joe.
Not least, Joe Martek, financial advisor. So we're here to help answer questions for anybody we can. And Pastor Dave, what's a mutual fund?
My mic was off.
Your mic was off.
A mutual fund is where, like, say, you and I have 100 companies that looks like a pizza.
Here we go. I knew we were going to get back to the pizza.
A small slice of that pizza, so they come to us, and we sell them a slice of that pizza, and we charge a small fee for that.
See?
He's been listening, Joe.
I'm telling you what. I was just double-checking. I know we were losing Larry there. I wasn't sure if we were losing Dave, too, you know. So we just want to keep
that glazed look.
Are you with us?
He wears those shades so we can't tell.
I know,
we
can't tell,
over.
Right? Unless I'm 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time. Pastor Dave, appreciate you being here and helping us. Larry, you know, you contributed tremendously, and you're taking care of this old guy down at the end, our messy Jew, you know.
Somebody's got to.
Somebody has to.
Somebody
we're grateful
to.
That it's you.
We're grateful. That's right. I mean, we take one look and say, you know, really, you're willing to take that, man? This is really good. Anyway, guys, until next week, we want to thank everybody for calling in. And any way we can help, that's our mission.
Yeah, it was a great
here.
Show. We had a lot of great calls.
Thank you, thank you. Onward. Are we done? I guess he just said we're done.
You've been listening to the Team Martech Program. The Team Martech Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech Program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.
My heart. finally found its home. And you will be my dwelling place forever, oh my Lord, my shade and shelter and my song. And you alone